Okay, this show is brought to you by Onnit.com.
I hope so. Right here. Fucking alpha brain in the motherfucking house. Nightmares, fucking beautiful dreams, colors, naked women.
For all that and more, go to Onnit.com and use code word church to get 10% off of all the great optimization products. Go to IronDragonTV.com and use code word Joey to get 2 free rentals of all the great martial arts movies. They have the leader in 4K technology. It's Iron Dragon TV, code word Joey. And they're also the people hosting the new video hosting site. So thank you. If we're working through any difficulties, we'll get it fixed soon. Go to hitesigs.com. That's hit letter E, sigs.com. And they have a brand new deal for everyone. For the month of May, they're running the Pick 5 campaign. And when you use code word Joey's Church, you're going to get 5 flavors. It could be the cigars, it could be the cigarettes, whatever e-cigs, whatever nicotine level you want. If you pick 5, you
10 get bucks a piece, cocksucker. So 5 for 10, 50 bucks, you get 5 of them. 1,200 guaranteed fucking pops. Where are you going to get that type of action? One of those Hindu cigarettes at 7-Eleven? Those things got that ISIS fucking cancer in there. You smoke electronic cancer, whatever the fuck goes down.
And go to nailedtolife.com.
That's right.
Also, Los Gumis Hermanos. Use code word Joey Diaz to get 20% off the premier vapor pen on the market for oil and wax smokers.
Oh, shit. That type of night, cocksuckers. The devil's coming out tonight. He's almost here. But at least I had already. His eyeballs are creepier than ever and shit.
I have no idea.
Look at him. He looks like one of those Jews at Port Authority that jerk off in a peep show and shit.
Do they still have peep shows?
What are you doing? What are you, DJ fucking? What's going on? You're repeating fucking songs already? How high are you? Yeah, they still got peep shows.
Really?
They got one up here, and I eat sandwiches across the street. What's the place up here? Roma on Lancashire. He's got a great fucking sandwich for lunch. Great sandwich special. Yeah. Sandwich, 2 sides, and a soda for like $6. And I go in there with the wife before she got pregnant and the kid. And across the street from there, I was talking to the kids are Armenians. It used to be an Italian deli, but it became Armenian. And I asked him once, what is that, a strip club? And he goes, no, the strip club is like 4 blocks down. It's a filthy strip club because this place across the street is where you go in and talk to a chick in a booth that's naked or some shit. So I don't know.
That's a peep show.
That's a peep show. That's a Puerto Rican peep show.
Oh, I kept thinking it was the, you know, when you go in and just shows the dirty movies. And you just go in and watch in the theater, like, with a bunch of other dudes. That I thought that was a peep show.
Well, that's like a porno theater. Do they still have those? Anybody know if they still have, like, old pornography theaters?
They got to have them in New York. They got to have a few in New York.
I didn't see one at like an actual theater, but like a sex store had like some video places in the back.
Right, then you go in the back and sit in a booth, and then they have the videos you whack off in there.
That's yeah.
That's for a quick tug. You're driving down the 405, you feel like whacking off, but you got too much class to do in your car. You pull over at some orange building with some Iranian dude with a missing eye, with a little hat on, with a Dodger hat on. You go in there, you get a couple tokens. You go in the back room, and they usually put them in there. You sit down. It smells like fucking debt.
Yeah.
Because when I was a kid, I would go to the ones on 42nd Street. You know, there's 2 types of peep shows. There's the peep show where the woman's in the fucking middle whacking off, and she's all fucked up, degenerate, little kid. Like, this is, they would go in there at the end of their shift. So we would play hooky in Jersey, right? 6th, 7th grade. We'd get over there like maybe 10:30. By 10:30, we'd catch the chicks that did speed the night before. It wasn't meth. Like, they did black beauties. They got fucked like 10,000 times. But then they go in there for like $6 an hour in tips. Because they got to work the gank off. They don't have to suck a dick. But they just go in there and would lay there and play with their pussy. And the pussy would be fucking all fucked up for the night before. And guys would go in there and whack off. And then you leave. I went into those. Then they had the ones where you went into. This is all in the same thing. Peep World.
Yeah,
the Gambinos owned that shit. That was all mafia run. You went into the one Peep World, which was like 2 or 3 floors, and I went into that shit in the 8th grade. 8th, 7th, 6th grade. I think I stopped that though. It's just disgusting. Then they had the ones where it's circular, and they put a stage, and the stage went around, like those revolving stages in Phoenix.
Wow.
And the chick would get fucked by a guy that was just, they were two like heroin junkies. Like both of them were on heroin. They just fuck each other. They passed out. And the funniest thing about that peep show thing is
the funniest.
Let's say you walk out of a room. There's a guy with a bucket that excuses you. Like, hold on one second. And he'll walk in, get the mop with the fucking hot water, with the sperm water, throw it on. He'll spray something on the curtains and on the thing, and then he'll go right in there. It's brand new.
No shit.
Yeah, because you jerk off on the floor.
That's service, though. You don't have service like that anymore, though. You know what I'm saying? That's
John Moffitt in the house, service. Former NFL player, the Seahawks and the Denver Broncos here visiting us in Los Angeles, working out, looking healthy, getting healthy.
Yeah, getting healthy. Getting everything together. Yeah, yeah.
What's up with you, Lisa? Yeah, fucko. You ever go to a peep show in Boston?
No, I've never been.
You never go whack off outside your house?
No, they didn't have it. I saw one once.
Did you whack off outside your house? You ever whack off outside your house?
No.
Oh, you get emotional.
In the car, but I know.
I've done.
Yeah.
Thank you. I was gonna say, as he was saying, in the car and how fucked up that is. I was like, well, I've done it in the car.
I've never finished, but like a couple pulls or something. But like, I've never. I don't
you
know.
Go like a strip club.
You didn't finish.
No, I didn't
like
finish.
A strip club. They give you like 18 lap dances. You didn't crack a nut. You go out into that fucking car thinking that you're going to meet her at Denny's at 2 o'clock. And you bang one out. You come on your girlfriend's sweatshirt and shit. It's tremendous. The good old days. The church of what's happening now. Welcome. Memorial Day upon us, cocksuckers. Think about your health. Don't drink and drive. There's going to be feds out there fucking pulling you over. Now they're going to throw you in federal penitentiary for drinking and driving. You never know, Lisa. You never fucking know anymore.
That's scary.
What else is going on, John Moffitt? Talk to me. We're talking about Seattle. How fucked up.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, I mean, I've been out of there for a month now. I never gave L.A. a chance until I actually came down here to live down here. And I love it.
You love it.
Yeah. Man. I was getting Seattle is so fucking dark and depressing.
Is it really? Everyone always says that, but
they're so full of shit. It's I thought you were going to say everyone always says that, but then they claim it's sunny. It's not.
Oh,
it's
no.
It's always fucking dark.
Oh, my. Yeah, that must be tough.
I think there's like a time change in Seattle, like an uncharted time zone difference. Because when I go there, I swear to God, it's like you ever see Insomnia with Robin Williams where he's like all fucked up and the aluminum's on the thing. When I go there, I've got this apartment that's kind of a little bit underground, like half underground, right? And I literally will lose track of time so badly that like I'll think it's been like 2 days and it has been 7 days. Like no shit. Like I can lose days like in Seattle. And this isn't even like you just smoke a little of their shit. And this, if you smoke their stuff, it adds on to it too. You smoke Seattle stuff and you spend time in Seattle, you could lose like 10 years of life there.
Moffitt, I don't know what the fuck happened to my life in Seattle. I don't know. I was in Seattle. I was 32 years old. I already had a grip on life. I was getting divorced. I knew I wanted to give this comedy. I knew where you stood.
Yeah.
When you go through a divorce and you go broke. You know where you stand. Absolutely. You're either going to continue being broke or you got to pick yourself up. You know, there was no way I was going to go back to the grind. I had no wife, no responsibilities. I was not going to go get a day job.
No.
This is your chance to attack the art that you want to do, whatever the fuck you want to do. I figured by the time I was 38 or 39, I'd be cooking with gas. But that didn't happen. But I still stuck with it. You stick with it. You know, I didn't know what was going on. I went to Seattle. I got arrested maybe 6 times in 18 months. And it all started with a fucking jaywalking ticket. And yeah, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I was innocent and that was bullshit. But one time I got arrested for a stolen car. That's like, I'm anti-stolen car. When I was 15, I wouldn't steal a fucking car because I always said, where do you go? Listen, if I rob your watch and you chase me, I throw the watch in the weeds. You got to prove. What's that fucking statement?
Beyond reasonable doubt.
Yeah, beyond reasonable doubt.
I don't know. What'd you throw behind? I didn't throw fucking nothing. Go get it. And you don't find nothing, and the cops don't find nothing. You're not going to get me arrested for the fucking watch, okay? Even if you think I fucking robbed it out of your fucking house. I would never rob a fucking car. I got arrested for a stolen goddamn car. They let me out, and they dropped the charges. But it cost me 4 fucking days in that King County jail.
Can they credit that to you? If you do the time, will they credit it for your next one?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It'd be nice they push it on.
I kept getting arrested. I got arrested in an anger management class. They were waiting for me.
In an anger management class?
You know what it is to have weed in your pocket going, I got to sit through this shit with these fucking momos for an hour talking about their mom hitting them and burning them. I'll sit through this shit. Once I get out, I can smoke a joint and live my life. I'll go around the corner, get some chicken teriyaki, fucking Seattle style.
Good Chinese food in Seattle.
Good Chinese food. Good food. Good salmon.
Really good food.
If you want to be healthy, Seattle. Seattle was, listen, I'm not going to talk. I lived in Jersey, so I've been in hell holes. I've seen hell holes all over the country. Seattle was a place that didn't agree with me. There's places in your life you're not going to agree with things. You know, some people go to the mountains, and the mountains throw them the fuck off.
No.
Seattle, Buffalo, New York has a weird effect on people. It's up there high. It's very cloudy. I'm telling you. There's people at home listening going, Joey, what the fuck are you doing? I believe in – the thing with Seattle was that I spoke to somebody one time. And they said Bremerton. Bremerton, Washington, which is 45 minutes outside Seattle, is a Navy base. It's one of those bases. I'm sorry. I don't know. I think it's a Navy, if I'm correct. But they have the submarines there that shoot out to the rest of the world. The reason why the submarines are there is because it's the deepest point in the United States where the submarines can go down. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know. Look it up on Wikipedia. I'm dropping knowledge on you motherfuckers here. That's why they have the subs there. It's the lowest point. And, you know, in my mind, yeah, Joey, you're a fucked up guy. You were doing coke and drugs and eating a fucking stripper. Sure, you got bad luck coming your way. And I thought that part of it was her bad luck because she was a fucking thief. A stripper's nothing but a fucking thief.
Oh, yeah.
They're fucking thieves. Yeah. I love them. I respect what they do. They're out there. They're a thief without a gun. Their gun is their fucking snatch.
Yeah.
And that's how they get you, and they'll take you for fucking $100. And, hey, I've been a victim. I was in the halfway house one time selling blow. And I bumped into a Korean with fake tits that was banging. I gave her everything. I snorted, but I had my hand in her asshole, like deep in her ass.
Was she a she, though? Because a Korean with fake tits,
she
asshole.
She was a she drinking. I was eating her pussy at the strip club.
Oh, nice.
I was in the halfway house. I was 2 months from getting married. I didn't give a fuck at that time. I was 28 years old, 29. I had already done time. I didn't give a fuck. I went in there. So I understand it. I get the whole mentality. But a stripper, the mentality is to take up. You're a fucking trick. You're a trick, hey baby. Yeah, I'm going to college. I'm supporting my dad. He's wounded. He was a vet. You know, I'm just here. I haven't done this. I'm single. He just broke up with me. Yeah, we'll hook up. Do you want another lap dance? Yeah, we go in the back room where things happen in the back room. What's it cost? $100. And next thing you know, you're down $120, and all you got was your dick rubbed. Through the fucking jeans. You could have done that yourself with a fake hand and saved money. All you would have paid for is shipping and handling, right or wrong?
It's through the jeans, too.
It's a wild life. So I thought part of the bad karma was living with that fucking freak. But who knew? Who knew what was going on, you know? You had some bad luck up there. What? Now, you were drafted by the Seahawks?
Yeah, I was drafted by the Seahawks.
And you went up there. Everything was beautiful. The sun only shines in the summertime. Fucking October comes. It's rainy as fuck. What were you thinking?
I wasn't really thinking about the weather initially because it didn't wear on me yet. I was so into, like, I'm playing ball and then I'm partying on my free time. You know what I mean? And sometimes waiting while I'm playing ball, like, all right, I got to get out of here. I got to go, you know, it's time to go out and this whole thing. But I got into a run-in with them, the cops, in Bellevue. And I'm at a bar. There's this bar called the Munch Bar, right? Just this, like, that was where the football players were going at this time. It was in Bellevue. And I walk outside and I'm piss drunk, literally. And I go into like a little like side little alleyway, and it's in this really, it's Bellevue. So it's rich town, right? It's like in this really like nice, little mall strip area, and the bar is in there. And I'm taking a piss out on the side, and one of these like mall cop guys sees me, right? And he grabs me and he's like, you're banned. You're never allowed to come back here. And I'm like, oh, okay, sure. And he writes me like a legitimate, like a ban, like a writ. You know, old ass 1970s, you know, like, and signs it and gives it to me. And I just threw it away. Same thing. And I come back because that's where everybody went. Right. So next time I come back with one of my buddies, and this dude's like freaking, he's got like 4 inches on me, 3 inches on me, and another 30 pounds. Just a huge dude. And we're outside of one of the mall places, and they had already seen me. The security guards had seen me in the mall and then called the cops and like ratted me out. So I'm outside one of these places, and I'm smoking a J with this guy, and the cop rolls right up on us, like right, pull the car, that car right there. And we're like, oh, fuck no. So we throw it and we just start running. Right. And we're just trucking it. And I'm wearing like freaking like moccasins and like whatever. And he's a huge dude. And honestly, I feel like we're running like a fucking like a 4.3 40, like just flying because I feel like they're going to tase me. You know, they have the new tasers with the they can shoot you from far away, and that like all cops are carrying these tasers. So I'm like really feeling like I'm going to get tased. So my back's tight and I'm like running as fast as I can. We rip through this apartment that he still had a key to that he used to live in. So we think we're good. We're going to beat him here, right? Because the main door takes a key. Cop catches the door and he's still running after us in the hallway. Then we did like the old split up at the end of the hallway where I went out the back exit door. He went up the stairs, right? And then we just go and I'm hiding in the bushes. The cops are driving by. I've lost them now. The cops are driving by. I can hear all their shit. And I call an Uber actually and have them meet me in the corner. I run into the Uber, jump in and get out of there, right? So I evaded them again. And I just kept going back there because I thought it was a joke. I thought it was actually kind of fun. It was like, fuck them, whatever. They didn't catch me. Like, who cares? They're not fast. So
you called a getaway car for Uber?
For Uber, yeah.
Did you get like an Uber Black or anything?
It was Uber Black, yeah. And the guy loved it. The guy like was all about it. I jumped in the back and he could tell there was like this sense of urgency. And I was talking. I'm like, look, man, I'm like, I'm not going to lie to you. We got to get the hell out of here.
You're
right
gonna
now.
You're going
to
shut Uber down.
Dude. And he just, and he loved it. He loved it. He's like, I got you. Don't worry. I got you. I'm like, thanks, man. I appreciate that. And so the third time they finally got me. And it was like, I felt like fucking John Gotti because I'm sitting at this restaurant. I'm eating dinner and I got my buddies with me. And I think a couple girls, maybe my girlfriend I see this cop out of the corner of my eye walk in and I'm like, oh fuck. And I instantly reactionally look out the back door to see if I can run there. Right. Another cop right there. And so I was surrounded clearly. And the worst is they get me, they bring me outside. It's like a busy fucking night in Bellevue. Everyone's there watching. I got, you know, the cuffs, you know, they do the whole thing. They're reading me my rights. Do you understand? They bring the paddy wagon cause I'm too big for the car. So they brought a paddy wagon and loaded me into the paddy wagon. And every time I get arrested now, the few times I have, I'm always in a paddy wagon because I'm too fucking big for the cop car. So they got to wait and they got to call this giant, you know, short bus for prisoners. And I got to go ride on that thing to jail. And that was the experience.
Now you get out the next day. Who's on the phone with you first?
I got to call Pete. I get out. Yeah. And I call Pete and I call Tom Cable up immediately because I'm like, I'm going to beat them. I'm beating this to the punch right here. And Pete actually, like, he kind of laughed a little because he was like, really? Like, for pissing? Like that's what they wanted you for?
It was amazing how serious they get.
Crazy serious.
Crazy.
And they honestly, I got into some shit in Chicago and they were easier on me in Chicago, which was way worse than they were in Bellevue. The Bellevue judge was so serious. I was more worried about Bellevue, which was nothing, than I was. It was crazy.
They probably just don't have much. It's like they have to make a big deal out of it or else they feel...
King County Jail is a real fucking... It's there's some real fucking crazy people up there. That weather makes you react a weird way. So everything's fucking weird up there. But it's amazing where the biggest cities, because they have more going on, their police program's a little bit more lenient. They'll listen to your story a little more. They'll turn you around. They'll take you to the station and say, listen... We found weed on you, and we found a little blow. We looked at your record. You're not a bad guy. We're going to make believe the blow didn't exist. And you're sitting there going, okay, I can live with this. You're a nice person. Just get out, man, all right?
Exactly.
You got a son your age. The guy will talk to you. They'll throw the weed on you. They'll kick this. They'll get rid of the warrant. When you show respect and you act kindly towards the cops. But Seattle, they were like machines.
Yeah.
They were like machines. They didn't want to listen, we're here to arrest you. What do you mean you don't arrest me? Well, the lady next door said, one time I went on a Monday, I don't know if you know Josh Wolf.
No.
He's from Chelsea lately. I was his roommate.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
And we were roommates, and one day, on a Monday, I go, he goes, what are you going to do? That? I go, nothing. He goes, you want to hit an ecstasy? I got one left over there, sure. I had it in my pocket. I was going to do it the weekend, but I go down to fucking Swanee's. There's some people down there. It's like 11 in the morning. People are drinking.
Yeah.
People talking about getting a package. What the fuck? Let me do a little. I got 12 bucks. Let me do a fucking shot and lie to people and do a fucking hit of ecstasy. And all of a sudden, the ex calls me, the stripper. She pages me. And she goes, come down. I miss you. I fucking run. I just did X. I'm ready to get my dick sucked. I get a cab. I go right to fucking Alki Beach. And I get in the thing. I rip her clothes off. We get on the bed. We start fucking. Next thing you know, boom, 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 boom. Seattle police. She told the fucking neighbor, if she saw me, to call the cops. The cops sees me. They come to the door. There's a restraining order still. We both have on each other. But no, that time I hid under the bed. That's the time I hid under the bed naked, and they drew their guns out because I was so fat. The bed kept going up and down. Fuck yeah, fuck yeah.
They can't over that.
Over that, they arrested me that time. They fucking took me out of the house shirtless. They fucked up my shoulders. I started getting off on the X while I was getting fingerprinted. This is fucking crazy. Seattle for me was 18 months of fucking craziness.
Yeah.
But then guess what happens? One Christmas fucking week with comedy slow as shit. That week that they had like a shitty headliner come in Friday instead of Thursday night. And they had local comics go up on Wednesday and Thursday and do like. And I was one of the guys they picked. And one of the craziest things happened. And all this madness. Guy goes, Joe Diaz, my name is whatever. Chuck was his name. Really nice fucking guy. He was like, I need to talk to you about something. He goes, I'm executive producer of a show named Bronx County. And we got what's his name to direct. Some big time director. He ended up on The Sopranos as an actor. And he goes, we're going to have this cop show. And we really want you to play the bartender. This is a true story. And I'm like, this happens to people in L.A. This yeah. isn't, and the guy's like, we're going to call you January 3rd. Give us your info. We're going to get you a plane ticket to come down and read for it. If everything works out, we'll pay for the move, the whole thing. I mean, so at the end of that whole 18-month bullshit, that's what came up.
Yeah.
And then as I was going to leave Seattle, I got a letter in the mail. Like, I was ready to shoot at this thing. They're like, yeah, come down. I got a letter in the mail. You got to go to court Friday for probation violation. And they're like, no, they're going to throw you in for 9 months. And I went there and told the judge the truth. And he goes, this is what I'm going to do. Get the fuck out of Seattle. Don't come back for 2 or 3 fucking years. Take the anger management classes and get your life together. Good luck, but don't ever come back. He's like, you're like banned from the fucking state. And that was it. That was 1997 to 98. I never went back. It was 2 years of hell on top of the 3 I'd just gone through in Boulder with the ex-wife and the kid.
Yeah.
And me wanting to fucking stab her in the neck and all that shit. So
Seattle is weird, man. Seattle is a weird place. It really is.
Now you're going through all this shit playing football. That must be even weirder. Listen, man, when you walk in here, I'm an East Coast guy. I grew up with crazy kids. And I know you're a sweetheart of a guy. But you're the type of guy, when you go, you go. You're an offensive lineman. When you go, you go. You motherfuckers are crazy.
You know what it is? You get really good at the double life. You know what I mean? You get really good at like playing like and obviously everyone knew like in football, like I was a partier. But you get good at like, you don't know how I party. Maybe I just drink beer. But really, you know, you're in the party life. You're doing whatever you want to do. And then you come to football and you do that shit hard as hell. And you're good. You know what I mean? It's like both sides of the, but it does, it wears on you. You know, it gets like, this shit's kind of hard. I mean, I'm not stopping, but this shit is really kind of hard doing both. You know,
I gotta catch a nap if I want to pick up that G-boat and see the fucking devil. It's my whole thing that I realized 7, 8 years after not doing powder and shit, I still smoke dope. I love it. It calms me down. If I didn't smoke, I'd stab people.
No.
And, the thing that always bothered me about doing drugs, that people add the blame to drugs for a lot of things. And for me, it wasn't the shit I did on the drugs. Mm. It's my behavior off the drugs. That was always for me. When I was on drugs, you don't see me. I didn't do drugs in fucking public. I stopped doing coke in public in 1994. After 94, 93... I was in the dungeon, Jack. I already had beer there. I had food for the next morning. I had everything so you wouldn't see me at all in that condition. The only person that would see me in that condition is if I called a woman at like 2 in the morning to come over. And I get cleaned up for her to come over. Back off. I'd take a shower and wash my asshole. You know, you got to get cleaned up for me. I'd eat the inside of an orange. And
does that work?
They always said, I used to know this Colombian guy in Jersey called Loco that used to carry coke and leaves. In 84, he used to fucking get that. We were kids.
Inside of a...
He always had coke inside of leaves, coca leaves. He would go right to Columbia and come back, and he'd have the leaves with the coke in the fucking leaves, even though it was illegal. Now it's big. People in the States are bringing coca leaves, and they're having
coca... And they're chewing them?
And they're chewing them up in the hills of fucking Hollywood. They pay like $2,000 for a fucking leaf.
No shit. And
people give them a leaf.
You know what I just heard about, and it was like close to making me relapse, was fucking pink coke? Have you heard of this shit? Pink cocaine? Apparently pink cocaine is like the biggest thing right now. Right. It's like the purest shit you can
get. That's how it started out in the 80s. It was fucking pink.
It was all pink.
It was
all
beautiful
pink. I've never even seen pink cocaine.
I'm writing this chapter now, just fucking around. Because sometimes when you're writing something, you focus too much on what you're writing on. So what I did was I got a side chapter, and that's it. It was just cocaine. And I talk about how, you know, I start, like, people in this country do not want to believe this. Everybody always says, no, marijuana is not a gateway drug. I'm fucking sorry. I got this party started because I smoked a joint and heard Paranoid.
Yeah.
And that's it. After you hear Pat, then you put on Led Zeppelin, the one with the fucking House of the Holy on it and the ocean and all that shit. I was done. I was gone. I was gone after that. So if that sounded that good on reefer, how would it? And I started experimenting with microdot acid. You weren't even itching your daddy's
what
pants.
Was that shit like? Because I always think of what the old LSD was
so
like.
So I would mess around with these little microdots. There were a dot, Lisa, I had a little dot, and purple, brown, blue, green. It all came in weird colors, and it would just jizz you out, but you were hallucinating. And some people said it was rat poison, whatever. Listen, I fucking tripped my ass off. I tripped my ass off. I loved it so much. Like, at one point, I was just, way before, I had done that shit for about a year. I experimented. Me and my friends on Friday nights would take it and walk around. And we would drink three beers. I was maybe 13, 14.
Yeah.
We'd drink three beers, like an 8-pack between three of us.
Yeah, that's normal.
And, and then we'd trip for like fucking 10 hours and we went home. And I'd watch, I had like the map of the NBA, the McDonald's All-Star All-American team on my wall. Michael Corrin. And they started like going.
Yeah.
I had a picture of Julius Erving dunking like. And he didn't move. He didn't stop and go, hi, how are you? No.
It's never like that.
It's just
a
thing.
Yeah.
And then after that, in the eighth grade, I got fucking zapped. My friend, Vinnie Lynch, God bless his soul. He was like 3 or 4 years older than me. He said, you want to go? He goes, I got an extra ticket. This is why I treat you like I do, Lee Syed, okay? Because there's no fucking coming back. He took me down to Philadelphia to see the Rolling Stones. This is the summer of 80 fucking, this is the summer of 78. They just put out that hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. I'm in the fucking eighth grade. I'm going to be a freshman in high school. And he goes, I got a free ticket for you. Come foreign. It was the opening act. We drove to Philadelphia. He got a hotel room. A bunch of us went in the fucking, they were like 16, 17. I was 13. Me, a bunch of my buddies went because they had older brothers. They took care of us. And one night, Vinnie Lynch came in. He goes, listen, man. I got window pane acid, and that was the devil.
Like bad or the shit.
That
it's good
was
shit.
The shit. That yeah. was it was that and the shit they put in your eyes. I hadn't done the shit they put in my eyes. So first I did the window pane acid, Lee. And it was like the way you feel. This is why Lee.
What are they putting in your eyes?
No, hold on. We'll get to that later. And then,
that's fucked up. Oh, we never do that before. I would rather do heroin than get something in your eye.
No, Lee, you have no idea.
I don't like eye drops.
And I put the fucking, I took the window pane acid, and I think it took like 40 minutes. And it started, and it cooked. This thing cooked right away.
Yeah.
Like right away, you heard shit. It got low in the room. It got high. The lights would turn down. Like your eyes would dilate and the color in the light. All of a sudden, that light would turn blue.
This whole room,
that blue from the Israeli flag would get really strong and it would dominate the room. And all of a sudden, all three of us, we got to go out. And then I remember going downstairs in the elevator, and that was the first time I thought my head was really, really going to blow up at the age of 13. Like, I had just come back from fucking five-star basketball camp with athletes, with Dominique Wilkins as a counselor. And here I am with these long-haired fucking rockers from Jersey fucking dropping window pane acid. And they take me into that fucking outside thing, wherever the Philadelphia. I don't want to give names because then I forget the name of these auditoriums and people fucking chastise me on Twitter. It was where the fucking Eagles played. And we went in there, and the fucking stuff, and he came out with like an American flag on him or some shit. And I'm tripping my balls off, thinking this guy's not even fucking American. He's fucking English, but I don't give a fuck. Take that. And he was just great. It was something. And after that, we went to this moat Philadelphia in those days had like a, like, think of how fucking crazy we were. Like, what could be in that water?
Yeah.
Like, there was a street, and then on the streets, you know, you have those little islands in the middle of the streets. Streets are going this way, and streets are going that way.
Yeah.
And you have that thing in the middle. They had little things with water in them. We jumped in it like it was fucking a river. That thing could have lice and leech in it and shit.
That's a lot worse than hummus.
But that acid trip was, in my mind, it was 20 hours, Lee.
Yeah.
20 hours of light change and you pissing and thinking nothing's coming out of my dick, and then you could walk out. And that was, those were the best tripping years. You're a kid. You're a fucking kid. And you're just giggling. And all of a sudden, like, I would call you. We'd say, look, Joey, I'm playing football, and my brother's a fucking cop. Don't say nothing, but I want to try acid. But take care of me. And I go, I got you, John.
Yeah, yeah.
I got you. And we go to a party where only you and I knew we were tripping. And you go talk to girls, and I go talk to Lee. But this is why I love this. Because every, like, 18 minutes on the minute, I turn around, and you turn around. And we make eye contact and go... And you go right back. That's the whole. Why when you make that connection,
yeah.
That's why you can't wait to do it again.
That's rare now. That's rare these days because I always tripped like alone a lot of times. And I'd be the guy going out like alone, like I'm tripping. And it doesn't ground you at all. Like that's a great grounding tool because you can look at the guy and be like, we got this. We're together. When you're alone tripping, you're like, oh, my God, maybe that you listen to people's shit. And you're like,
I'm not seeing it. I'm not hearing it correctly.
Maybe I'm wrong. This is not good. This is getting overwhelming. This is too much. I got really mushrooms was my thing in Seattle.
I didn't do mushrooms. I'm from the East Coast like you.
Right.
Growing up on the East Coast, we weren't introduced to mushrooms. We didn't have sativa weed from California. Yeah. I grew up with brown weed from Jamaica.
Yeah.
And then we didn't have a lot of things. I got introduced to mushrooms in Aspen, Colorado, 4th of July. 1983, John Denver was fucking playing at the Children's Foundation. And I got some mushrooms and went to a bridge. And I loved the feeling, but I didn't like the diarrhea.
Yeah.
I didn't like to go into the bathroom. My asshole feels weird. Is there toilet paper stuck to my asshole?
I didn't get that a lot. Maybe that's a first time thing.
I got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I was more of a...
You have diarrhea when you do mushrooms?
Some people react to their stomachs. Now, like I said in that thing, you're inside the fucking toilet shitting, thinking, how many trees did they cut to get that toilet paper? I swear to God, that's what I was thinking about. I'll never forget that. That's why I didn't like it.
How strong were the things you gave me a few months ago? Like the soaked ones from Indianapolis?
The mushrooms? They were strong. They were
because I never like hallucinated.
No, we didn't.
It felt like light weed. Okay.
They didn't give you enough to hallucinate.
So small amounts of it are awesome then. It's even better than weed.
Yeah. No,
I think large amounts are awesome.
I've never done large amounts.
I think the only way to really, that's the Terrence McKenna, like do a large amount of this shit and really get ripped out of your body.
Or gram? A gram?
His thing was 5 grams.
5 grams.
And I did it once. I did 5 grams right before rehab. I was like, I'm going to rehab. This shit sucks. I was in my house in Seattle. I was going to come down to Malibu. And my girlfriend left for the day and no one was in the house. And I was like, all right, I got all these. I had like 8 grams of mushrooms. So I'm like listening to Terrence McKenna. And he's like, you got to do the recommended dose. It's like 5 grams. And then it'll change your universe. I'm like, fuck it. All right. So I do like 5, maybe leaning on 6. And I, you eat it and then you're kind of just playing the waiting game, but you try not to think about it. Right. And he's like, this is so intense. You need to be ready. And you need to start singing songs and shit and get your mind like in the right place. So I'm alone singing songs in my smoke room, right? And it's like been I don't know how long.
That's the name of your book.
That's right. Yeah, I'm alone singing songs in my smoke room. So I in my mind it's been a long time, and I'm like, all right, I'm gonna get ready for the day. I'm gonna take a shower. It's 11 in the morning. So I'm thinking it's around, afternoon, it's time to get out. Take a shower. I get dressed. I get all dressed and ready. Everything's ready to go. I'm looking in the mirror. I'm throwing darts, getting ready. I look in the mirror. I'm like, you're good. It's time to go out. Look at the clock. It's fucking been 20 minutes. It has been 20 minutes and the trip hasn't even started yet. And I'm already like on the moon. And after that, it was like one of the like scary and most thrilling experiences of my life. I mean, absolutely horrifying to the point where like, maybe I'll never be the same again. But then at the same time, like the excitement of like, maybe I'll never fucking be the same again.
There's a different mindset to tripping and doing that type of stuff when you're younger.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're an offensive lineman. I don't know any fucking, like, yeah, you either meet a Christian offensive lineman or they're out of their fucking mind. Okay, you either meet a Christian and very, or they're out of their minds, and that's how they have to be in their job. I don't know their job, but they're blocking fucking gorillas all day. They're blocking men that are, you know, that they made it to the NFL. They all do 4'2" fucking 40s.
Strong as shit.
Strong as shit, you know. It was something that I could never imagine at the professional level. I mean, and you started at a young age with football.
Yeah, about eight years old. Yeah.
And you were All-American the whole
All-American in college, yeah, the whole thing. Yeah, third round drafted. And
how was Wisconsin? 4 years?
Oh, my God, 5 years in Wisconsin.
5 years in Wisconsin.
Redshirted. Oh. Greatest time of my life. That's where I learned to drink. That's where I really learned how to drink, like, the right way. Like, you know, you don't stop. And, oh, my God, Wisconsin was – you know what's – I was just talking to my my quarterback, Scott Tolzien, and he's with the Green Bay Packers now. And I was like – he was giving me all the old stories because I literally forget like 80% of that shit that went down there, you know?
That's what college is for, guys.
Yeah, this That's dude was lucid.
Fucking college for.
This was my, he was my roommate, and he was like the straight edge, you know, quarterback. You know what I mean? And he remembers all of it. And I was saying, I'm like, Scott, man, I'm so glad you were so lucid throughout college, or else this would have all been lost, all of this. And I remember maybe 5 to 10 stories all around games or wins, and then the rest is just at a bar. It's all the same scene at a bar.
You won a championship up there?
We won a Big Ten championship, and then we went to the Rose Bowl.
Unfucking believable.
Yeah, the Rose Bowl is.
What a feeling is that?
When we won, we beat Northwestern, and we won the Big Ten championship, and everybody rushes the field, and they're fucking losing their mind. And then they're like, we're going to the Rose Bowl. We found that one out. The roses are everywhere. I didn't remove a rose from my fucking face for like 24 hours, right? And then the town, like, it's the first one Rose Bowl in 15 years. And the town's, like, losing their mind. And so we go out. And we're partying. And I'm in this place called the Essen House. And there's these boots of beer, right? And everyone's there. We're all just getting freaking shitty. And I'm talking to this professor at Wisconsin. And we're talking about – he's like a science professor. So we're talking about the universe and all this shit, right? And we get so deep into it, we turn around and all my boys are gone. They went to the next bar, right? So the professor, he's like, I'm like, hey, professor, do you want to come to the next bar with us? We'll continue the conversation about the universe. He's like, of course. And so I got a freshman with me, and we all go out. And the bouncer, I'm leaving. I know the bouncer. He's like, Moff. He's like, you know, that guy's totally fucked up, right? I'm like, he's fine. He's a scientist. And the guy goes, fine. Good luck taking your future in your hands. I'm like, man, fuck you. So we get in the car and we're driving down the street, right? And I'm still talking. The car is like fogged out. Like, so you can imagine what it smells like in there, but the windows are fogged, right? And it's Wisconsin, middle of winter. It's freezing ass cold. All of a sudden, the berries go up behind us, and we get pulled over. And I'm like, what the fuck could be going wrong? The cops come up. This is the same night we had our Christmas party, so we're all wearing, like, tight ass, like you know, Christmas, fruity Christmas sweaters and shit. And the one cop, two female cops, one comes to the right side, the other goes to his side, right? And the other one, she pulls him out, and she's giving him the sobriety test, okay? And I know we're fucked. So I'm looking at the cop, and I'm like, listen. I'm like, I don't even know this guy. So we're good, right? I didn't know the rules. She's like, yeah, you're not driving. You know, you're an idiot. You're fine. I'm like, oh, thank God. Because I was planning to run, right? I was telling the freshmen we're going to run, you know, the usual. Fucking scientist gets back in the car 3 minutes later, right? Looks at me in the eyes. I swear to Christ he was cross-eyed. And he goes, I passed the eye exam. And they let us go. And they fucking let us go all the way down the rest of the one-way road into the next bar. And that same night, another one of my buddies got picked up by the cops in a snowbank in the road, and they just brought him back to his house. No one said shit. The whole town was like, whatever you want to do, you can do it.
Yeah. He just caught guy. He beat the fuck. So now it's your senior year.
Yeah.
You know you're getting drafted. You have an agent. Everybody's knocking on your fucking door.
Yeah.
What teams are you looking at originally?
So they it's totally on the teams. Like, you have no I mean, who was the last guy? Eli Manning was the last guy to say, oh, fuck this, I'm going to the Giants, right? But since then, no one says shit. Like, the team picks you based on, you know, your draft position, your value. That's it. So when I got a call like a week before the draft from Seattle, And they were like, hey, do you have any qualms about coming to Seattle? And I was like, it's the other side of the fucking country. Yeah, no, that sounds good. And then, sure enough, they draft me. That was it. They didn't ask me shit. We were at the combine. They didn't even interview me. Everyone else, you got freaking Jeff Ireland from the Miami Dolphins. He's asking me if I'm an alcoholic and shit, how many problems I have, why I'm so fat all the time. Like, sometimes I'm like 330, 340.
What are you weighing now?
290.
You look great.
Thank you.
And you were 340 when you were in college.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You got to be. That's what they fucking pay you for, to fucking run around and tackle motherfuckers.
That's what I said. And I said, I drink a good amount. I eat a lot of fried food when I'm drinking. Wisconsin.
You're in college.
That's what I said.
You know, you're a 22-year-old football player who's been fucking hitting it up 9 to 10 months a year, because in the summers you still lift weights. To be an All-American, that doesn't mean you sit there and scratch your balls and muscles don't just fucking grow on you.
Yeah.
You got to do shit. I remember just playing high school ball and the shit we did in the summers. I can't move my arms today because of behind the neck presses and front of the neck presses. I'm done. And I was just a fucking peon. I can't imagine a guy that's an All-American. You got to bang it out. So 22, you're in college. Your team is on the board. Everybody's sucking your dick, right? You're in college football. Listen, I watch 8 minutes of fucking pro football a year anymore. I just don't have the time.
I hear you.
And then I watch 10 minutes of college ball. You know, when you're a kid and you're Cuban and you come to this country and you see college football on Sundays, Oklahoma against Alabama, and you put it on, they come out with a fucking horse. First thing you said to yourself is, I'd love to play college football. Fuck the pros. Fuck the pros. To win a national championship.
Oh, yeah.
And then to have a regular career, I could see it happening.
Oh, yeah.
I could see that. Those guys that do those 30 for 30s, when the North Carolina team got together and talked like that, that's friendship. That's something that lasts. You never forget that, you know? I'm happy. I still remember the kids on my bitty basketball team.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we had a play in the eighth grade called Your Mother. That was the emergency play. Because when you're taking the ball out, just saying your mother just shocks everybody, especially from the East Coast. But your mother, everybody was scrambled. Me and these kids, we were like fucking 0-9 in basketball. And the eighth grade, we all practiced hard. We got together in the summer. We ran plays. There was this guy in the neighborhood that played pro ball. We got him to come up and show us plays. And he showed us this fucking easy basketball thing. He goes, it always works. But you got to shock them out the gate. You got to come up with something. I'm like, how about your mother? He's like, that's perfect. It'll work. And we had this kid on the team. He was Dominican, but it was the East Coast. We didn't care. He was an Afro, so he was Louis the Nigger. Yeah. He was Dominican. We just called him Louis the Nigger. It was Louis the Nigger, me, Chucky McBreen,
good old Chucky.
David Ruiz, and somebody else was on that fucking team. I don't even know what I'm talking about. I got to stop eating these edibles.
Your mother.
The point is, we had, you know, you build this bond, even at that level, even at that little kid level. Yeah. I'm sure you played peewees. There's still, you know, my neighbor, North Bergen, which is a big football school.
Oh, yeah.
The coach, God rest his soul, they accused him the year he won the states of going out and recruiting people in high school, which everybody was doing at the time.
Yeah.
They just wanted him.
Them and Don Bosco, right? Those are the two big ones.
Bosco Tech. Yep. And in basketball, the Hurleys have been doing it for 30 fucking years. When I was in the eighth grade, waiting, they didn't talk to me. Yeah. They talked to me. I went to Superstar Basketball Camp. And they were like, you should move to Jersey City. Oh, just like that. Move to fucking Jersey City.
Yeah, yeah.
So now you're in Seattle. Fresh year. What's going on? You starting?
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah, I was starting. Yeah, I started the first 8 games, then blew my knee out the 9th.
Damn.
Yeah, blew it like good, like just cracked in half, like fucked up, like did it so good that, you know, you're on the ground. You're like, all right, that'll be a year. That's just a year right there, you know. And
really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I mean, shit, when I went out to Seattle, I was a rookie and it was awesome. It was fucking awesome. There was just this period of time from, I think it was the winning, you know, when you win, you know what I mean? Like when we were seniors, you win all the way through, get into the NFL, get drafted a good place. It was the lockout year, if you remember. So I couldn't be talked to, nothing right after the draft until like literally August 1st when we started camp. And I just showed up to camp and then we were on. And then we did a month and then, I mean, that shit was just fast. Like learning, I mean, the NFL jump is like, if the high school to college jump is big, the college to NFL jump is like maybe right around the same, or it's big. It's a big jump.
First 2 weeks of practice. After you've made the squad.
Yeah. So I remember talking to my dad. I remember we had a day that it was like right before we put on, you know, they ease you into pads, right? So like you have 3 days of like nothing, right, nothing. And then you have 2 days of like half pads and then you go full, right? So like the third day of like no pads, like I was out there. I remember to call my dad after practice. I'm like, man, I think I can, this shit's not, you know, I'm doing good. This is easy, right? And like, cause my speed was good and everything like that. Fucking pads come on. Whew, just like, whole new level, you know what I mean, whole new speed, everything. And then you get that, it's a mind fuck, because you always are thinking, can I do this shit? So then the next literally the next day we go on pads, I'm just fucked up, get, you know, I mean, you're a rookie, you're getting your ass kicked, right? And then I'm doing that like, oh my god, man, I don't know if I am gonna. And then you kind of even out, you adjust to the speed, you play some preseason games, you ball out a little, and then it's on. And then every week is just like, the second you hit Tuesday, even Sunday after the game, some guys are going, but like the second you hit Tuesday, it's work your ass off. You got Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday's like a lighter day. Friday's a walkthrough. Saturday's an hour. And then you're in at night. And then Sunday's the game. So it's really fast. And then when you're smoking dope, like every single day, cause I found out I didn't do any smoking when I was in college, cause it was like highly illegal NCAA testing. Like you can't fuck with that. When I found out in the pros that it's like the once a year bullshit, well, I was right back on the train. So I was doing I like went right back to like, oh yeah, yeah, go home, study your playbook.
And you're in Seattle, that rain, that grows some good fucking reefer up there, Jack.
The whole thing. And it was just, I was right about, we knew it was getting legal. Like it was, we were getting close. Because the year after, maybe 2 years after, they completely legalized it.
It sounds like you have like a lot of free time. So is that like, not that you're not working hard, you probably get in there really early in the morning, but then you're probably out of there by what, 4 or 5?
Yeah.
And then just have nothing to do?
All night. Yeah. I mean, shit, I'm a guy that goes to sleep at like 2, 1, no matter what. So you have 5 to 1, and then you're good.
And then when you're on the road, you can't do anything. Like, you just can't. You're stuck in the hotel room.
So that's, you know, a lot of guys actually go out a lot on the road. A lot of guys will get in, like if you get in on a Friday, guys will go out Friday night, and some guys are crazy enough to go out Saturday night. Jesus. Yeah.
There was a dude who got sent back from the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that an happens. Offensive lineman. Oh my God.
That happens. I couldn't understand it because when we traveled, we went to the hotel, like I'd still sneak my shit on and I'd smoke it like the night before or whatever, and then Friday, but I would never go out. Never go out.
Saturday night.
No. Hell no. I wouldn't even go out Friday night. I wouldn't drink like I knew drinking was like the devil.
No movie, a steak.
Yeah, you eat a nice, you know, I'd rent a movie at the hotel room and eat a nice dinner and the whole thing. But like team provided all that shit. But guys were going out to drink Friday, Saturday night. And like, and I would hear about that shit and be like, oh my God, how are you drinking the night before a game or 2 nights before a game? But like some dudes, it's amazing what dudes can, you know. I mean,
I'll tell you. Listen, Showtime is Showtime.
Showtime
is Showtime. You know, whatever the fuck you did the night before, it all ends right there. That's why you made it to that fucking level.
Exactly.
You know, Joe Namath will go out and get sloshed the night before. That's the run on the street, sloshed. That's how people would gamble in those days. They'd go out on Saturday nights, and they'd see how late he'd stay out. They'd follow him, and then they'd start making calls. Dog, I'm at a fucking diner with Joe Namath. He's still snorting blow. Bet against him right fucking now, you know? He hasn't stopped. He's snorting blow under the table. And look, the Roberto Duran just walked in. You know, it was crazy. So that's how that thing, and there's some guys, it's funny. I used to work for a sports betting service. Mm. And the nights on Friday night, I would go home because he cut you a deal. He'd say, look, you go home Friday at like 4. But if you stay till 9, I'll put a show on, and people will call, and you guys get those leads, and I'll give you 150 cash. 150 is all I need for an 8-ball. I'd make Dirty Vince deliver the 8-ball right to the fucking office.
Dirty Vince?
I wouldn't do a bump till I got out of there at 9. I'd go home and get sloshed. I wouldn't do that last line. We had to be in at 7 to sell college football on Saturdays. I wouldn't be in till 7. I would do the last line at 20 to fucking 7.
Oh.
I'd be so coked up, I'd go in there and just put tissue paper up my nose and pitch, call people. What's going on, cocksucker? Grab your credit card. Do you know those days I'd go in there whacked? I would do better than any other day of the week because I was unconscious.
In the zone, man.
I was literally unconscious. So I was working the pitch correctly. I was working all my automatic, you know, like when you go back and forth with people, banter. I don't know if it's the same with sports. I didn't play at that professional type level.
I think it is. I really do. I never I guess maybe because of offensive line or whatever, or how I felt, I never risked drinking too close to a game. But when I was in college and in the NFL during the week, we drink all week. And so I'd come into practice just, you know, like just clear vodka sweat, you know? And you would get into the zone where you'd be like, all right, you know, everything's all fucked up. I'm fucked up, but I just got to be right here right now. And you think like in that like incremental little, oh, I got to do this right now. And honestly, it puts you in the zone and you're good. And maybe that's what it's like with a lot of guys that just fuck it, you know?
So now you play there for a season, 8 games, you get hurt. What happens? You come back a year later?
Yeah, came back a year later and kind of went back and forth, like was working on the comeback. So I was being like used as like a utility guy, which fucking pissed me off, man, because right. I was a player.
Right.
And they had a guy, good friend of mine, J.R. Sweezy, they converted him from D-line. So they were giving him a lot of chances early on. And I was being like really steady the whole way through with a fucked up knee. So we finished that year. And the next year I was getting so pissed off about like getting jerked around. I felt I went into Pete's room, his office, and I asked him for a trade. I was like, I think you should just trade me. I was like, because I'm not going to like, you know, you say that this is all about competition, but I think that's bullshit. And you guys are playing favorites. And I think you should just get me out of here because I'm not going to be like the best, the trooper. You know what I mean?
Right.
And he was basically like, no, that's, you know, that's not the reality of things. And then it got, I mean, I kept him there for like 30 minutes. Like I wouldn't, like, I'm not going to do like, you're the boss. I'll just, you know, take it in the ass and then be happy about it. So I could tell that really pissed him off. Right. So he waited though for like the best time to trade me, which was fucking 2 weeks into camp, my third year, 2 weeks into camp. And he traded me to the Cleveland Browns, the shittiest team ever. Right. And the fucked up thing was I would still be fine if it was the Cleveland Browns because they sucked. I would have walked right in and started and been good. But they were fucking around because they didn't want to pay me my regular contract. So then they went in and they tried to say there was something wrong with my knee. So I'm in the Browns thing, and they put me right when I get in. They fly me there. First of all, they're like, you're getting traded. That day, that night, they try to fly me out. I was like, fuck you guys. I'll fly out in the morning. Okay. I'm not leaving tonight. I got to pack. I got to do shit. I have to smoke 10 blunts. All my weed's here. I got to figure out how I'm going to get it there. I got to call someone in Cleveland. Fuck you. So I get out there and they bring me right to the hospital and they MRI me. Right to the hospital. Don't even go to the team. I go right to the hospital. I get MRI'd. I meet with the doctor. The doctor is actually like a good doctor and says, hey, do you want to meet? You want to see your screenings, your MRI shit? Do you want to see your knee? I was like, I would. He shows me all of it. He's like, you got arthritis. That's normal. Everything else looks fine. You did a good surgery. You're repaired up. Everything's good, right? Perfect. Go back to the Browns training camp. My agent calls. He goes, they want you to take half of your contract. I said, tell them to get fucked. Like, no, it's half my contract. And I got traded. Traded stays intact. So they didn't like that. They bring me up like 2 hours later. They bring me up to the head coach. And he's like, we're going to fail you on the physical. Because your knee. So it's a clever way to avoid the trade, right? And I was like, well, you can't do that because I saw my MRIs and you're a fucking liar. So then he just walks out of the room. He just walks right out of the room and he grabs, I don't know where he went, right?
Who was this man, Genie?
Chudnovsky.
Okay.
The one right after him, I think, right? And so he goes and gets like the athletic trainer, the guy that tapes ankles, and they bring me down to like the president, the GM, like all the big, you know, the big guys. And we're sitting in the conference room and he leaves and he's going to get like another medical guy. And I'm talking to the GM or whatever. And I'm like, yo, man, I'm like, I don't know what you guys are doing here. I get your offense. I've watched some film. Like, I would love to play for you. I want to play. I can play tomorrow. Like, let's just stop. The money's the money. I know you got it. Don't fuck with me, you know? And they were like, hey, you're making a, honestly, we don't know what's going on because last night we said that's a great addition to the team when we got this trade. And the other guy comes in and they try to keep up with the medical thing and I really get pissed off. And this medical guy, the ankle taper is like, he's trying to explain what's wrong with my knee, right? So I let him do his spiel. And then I go, okay, this guy tapes fucking ankles. The doctor, show me the MRIs. You guys are fucking lying. It's all about money and we all know that. And that's fucking stupid because you're not in the position to do this kind of shit over $300,000 and a guard that you're getting for nothing. Honestly, I was on a third round contract and the new agreement, it's nothing. And they let me walk right out of there and they traded me to Denver. And that was it. But after, I was like, fuck all of you. Fuck the Browns. I wish you the worst. You're never going to win. The end. And then Seattle picked me up and brought me into Denver. The GM from Seattle did me a solid and got me into Denver. And then I'm with fucking Peyton Manning every day, and I'm high as shit in practice because I'm like, so I'm hating life right now because I'm not going to play. I'm not going to start. And Denver's when it's getting legalized. So I got like all those edibles. I got these morning mints that I'm taking on the way into work. It's like a mint, but it wakes you up. It's a sativa kind of upper.
Lee, wake up, cocksucker. Oh, look at the shape of this fucking beaut.
He's falling asleep.
Oh my God. Lee, get up. Let me see your eyeballs. Go like that.
It's late.
No, I'm not tired. We got fucked up about an hour before the started.
You know, I'm rarely the sober guy in the room, man. I'm rarely the sober guy in the room.
Well, so you are tonight.
I am tonight. It's a nice changeup.
So now you started at Denver.
No, I didn't have a chance. If you don't have an offensive line for Peyton Manning by the third week of preseason, you're a fucking idiot. You know what I mean? And they had two great guards. They had an okay center, and the tackles were both really solid. So they were lined up. And Peyton's, you know, the offense is it's complicated, and it makes it more complicated for offensive linemen. So like, where my mindset was, because I was so worn out, I'm just like, man, fuck this whole system, fuck all of it. You know what I mean? And that was it. I'm like, I'm gonna show up to work, I'm gonna clock in my hours, and I'm gonna go home and smoke this Colorado shit, and that's all I'm gonna do. And that eventually hit like a point of like, fuck even that. You know what I mean? And then it was like, that was it. And that's when I eventually just packed it in and left. No, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do another.
Retired, just like
yeah, that. Retired. I couldn't do. I went back home to Seattle on the bye week, and I just couldn't do shit. What happened? Went back to Seattle. Had a whole week bye week. Right, was with my girlfriend, fucking, you know, hanging out, whatever. Took a ton of mushrooms. Okay, about 4 days before. Right, like I had to go back, and I'm tripping my balls off, and I'm like doing the whole like, put life in perspective, put your whole world in perspective. Yeah. And I was like, no, it doesn't work. It doesn't fucking work for me. Come down, got a day or three to like be real normal, get normal for a day or two, still feel the same way, even though it fucked my head up that it was on a mushroom trip that I pretty much said I'm going to quit the NFL, right? And God forbid I tell any, could you imagine telling some of these ESPN motherfuckers that? I dropped some mushrooms. That's what I should have said though. That's what I should have said right off the bat, because they couldn't get their heads past, you're walking away from $1 million. And it became all about that shit. You know what I mean? It came all about like a million. And then I had to do this whole like, oh, you know. But the reality was like, I really wasn't happy with what I was doing. And I was like at a point where, you know, where you're just like, fuck it. And I feel like everyone's gotten to that point. You know what I mean?
At some point.
Yeah, at some point, you get to that point.
Once you see something for what it is and you just go, what's the point of doing this shit?
Exactly.
Lee, hit it, cocksucker. Little Tony Bennett on a Monday here. Just to break up the show a little bit. You're on fucking fire. You're great, man. I love it.
It's easy. East Coast, man. It's like being home, man.
Great. Lee Syatt in the house, ready for another Green Hornet?
Never.
Sure you are. You're as tough as fucking nails. Let's see what the fuck this guy's saying. Somebody twice as smart. As I but somebody let me give some shout outs here real quick. We'll move this right along. Always Waiting for Dust, my main man Renee Encarnacion, Tim Woody, Noah North Shore Scott, Jason Segans, Naughty Nate, Nasty Nate, whatever your fucking name is, Mr. Gonzo, Kern Michael, Constantine Rain, and my main man, Juan Vargas. I love you, cocksuckers. Stay black. We're here talking to my main man, John Moffitt. You retire, you get to Seattle. How do you end up in L.A.?
Oh, my God. Well, the first time I ended up in L.A. was for rehab.
Okay.
Because I went to Malibu Passages, which was weird as shit because when I was on my little bender, I kept seeing commercials for
that
past,
dude.
Yes.
I was an addict for 10 years. Who gives a fuck? You're a pussy.
Thank you.
You got to go another 10, 15 years before you can open up a rehab. I can open up a rehab. You got to work yourself to that fucking position. Lee, hit the air conditioner. We're sweating up a storm in here.
Really? I'm freezing.
I am. Do you see me?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Get it together. You're slipping. There's a fucking steam bath.
I'm freezing.
So you go to rehab. You get your life together.
Yeah. So basically, so when I finish, I'm like, I mean, when I left, I was being so blunt and honest as possible. I'm like, look, I'm just not happy. I don't like this shit. I can't do it. Right. And, there was no like plan B. There was no like, oh, I'll go into this. I had no clue what I was going to do. So I was like, oh, I like radio stuff. I like this. Maybe I'll just go that way. So
thank you, brother.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm good. No, he might need a water.
Yeah, let me get a water, please.
I'm good. I'll be peeing till 8 in the fucking morning.
I'm freezing cold.
How can you be freezing cold? It was a hot day today in LA. It's cold day today in LA. So look at Lisa, I had the little flying Jew. Look at the physique. He's a savage.
That's a physique.
I just went to my first Seder out here, too. It was
did
fun.
You really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the worst one for Jews.
How was the food?
It was terrible.
Is it? That's a bad one.
No, the brisket is good, but like there's no bread. It's all matzo, which is disgusting.
Nobody's eating carbs.
No.
Well, the Jews don't like carbs.
It's an Atkins Seder.
And then you can never have shrimp or anything with like meat and cheese on the same dish. It's fucked up.
It's a fucking nightmare.
You know, I noticed that. Soup. They separated everything. Yeah, I thought it was just cleanliness, but
no, it's a rule.
Godliness.
You have to have everything separate, plates, dishes.
Interesting.
So now, you go to rehab, you come out, you're clean a year now?
Yeah, I'm clean. Yeah, clean yeah. And it's been a year. It's been a year. So I basically hit like a, after I left.
How old are you now?
28.
You're a young fucking man.
Yeah.
You still got the world by the balls.
That's what I keep telling
myself.
You look
great.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah, I feel good. I feel really good. So,
and you're Unbreakable with Dave.
Yeah, yeah.
How the fuck did you end up at Unbreakable with that savage?
So I was kind of part of like a cleaning up and changing shit up. I was like, all right, I kind of want to train a little bit again. I think, you know, when you, I left the NFL and then I went through this, you know, like just a bender, just a great party thing that climaxed in Chicago, got arrested.
How long was the bender?
It was a bender within a bender. But the intense bender within the big bender was 6 weeks, and it was six different cities, I got kicked out of the house basically. Like I couldn't go home in my home in Seattle. Me and my girlfriend were on like the no go. So I went to like Miami, Las Vegas, New York, Chicago, L.A., and then back to Chicago for St.
Patrick's
Day.
With an ATM card with a smile on your face.
I was still getting paid for playoff games.
Fuck yeah.
The Denver Broncos went to playoffs, and they were giving me playoff checks.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, it was like a...
Like a doctor. Oh. Buy me a drink and give that guy in the corner a drink, too.
That's what it was.
Give all these humps a drink. Peyton Manning scoring touchdowns.
I was like the big... And then on top of it, like betting on the games too.
Yeah, you don't give a fuck.
Fuck yeah, I'm out. I know all this shit. I've scouted all of it, right? So I get the checks, and then turn it around a little, or just go blow it somewhere. And luckily, my financial advisor that I had when I was playing still had like that. But this money was all like unaccounted for. Fuck you, you know I'm getting. And every week in the playoffs, you get a new check. Get a new check. It's like $20,000.
Oh my.
Every week, one was 40. You're just like, what the fuck? I came home to check. I didn't even know it existed. I couldn't believe my girlfriend even told me. She's like, there's a check in the drawer. Fuck you. I'm like, oh. So I went out and hit all these cities. And then it finally climaxed in Chicago because I had like the Alchemist. I had like six different kinds of drugs on me to hit all these different points. And I finally got to the point where I was like, when your mugshot picture is like the worst one in the world. You know what I mean? Like I get in front of them. I'm all fucked up. They don't tell you you're taking a picture.
No.
Next thing you know, look up, right? You have 1 second to think about it, and I'm like, look innocent for the judge. That's the thought that comes. Looks, which makes no fucking sense at all. Makes no sense at all, right? Clearly a drug thought. So I do. I have this like puppy dog, sad, pathetic mugshot that's just fucking horrible. And when I saw that, I was like, oh my god, I'm going to fucking rehab. Delayed that for 2 weeks, of course, and then finally went to rehab in April. So it's been a year now. And then, like, when you get out, you know, when you quit all the drugs you're on and everything, your mind is just like.
It's different. Your mind.
Oh, my God. So you don't really know what you like. Hey, what do I reject? What do I not? What do I actually believe in? What do I not?
It's scary.
Yeah.
First 90 days when you're sober is a very scary thought because you haven't thought clear.
No.
You haven't thought clear in years. I got locked up. By the fourth month, I was thinking tip top. I'm drinking water.
Yeah.
I'm eating Wonder Bread. I'm getting three squares. I'm sleeping 9 hours. Your mind comes back. And you even start questioning yourself. Like, where have I been?
Yeah.
Where has, you know, John been? Where has Joey Diaz been?
Could you have, like, stayed under contract and just gone to rehab? And then, like, not had to retire?
It took me... The quitting, like, they're separate things, and then sometimes I think that they could be connected. The fucked up thing, the thing that annoys me is that when I quit, it was very public because I was like, hey, maybe I'll do radio. I'll do some interviews, and I'll segue that into radio. It actually worked. I had two offers up in Seattle for, like, do you want to do a show or this or that? But they want to talk about sports, and I was like, hey, fuck sports. Like, I can't I can't do this shit anymore. So that I kind of steered away from that. But when I quit, I really was like, I'm not doing this. And then obviously it was, I kept finding things. I said blatantly, like, I'm very unhappy with what I'm doing. I'm not happy in life. I need to change it. So classically, like, you're not happy, just do a bunch of drugs. And that leads to the next thing in Chicago. Yeah, exactly. So whether one played off the other or one was with the other, whatever, you know what I mean? That's kind of the situation. But I think it needed me. Like, there was no way I was ever going to go to John Elway and be like, hey, I need to go to rehab. We're on a Super Bowl run, but I got to go to rehab right now. And that was the other fucked up thing. I was like, both my teams were in the Super Bowl that year. The team I got traded from, we just played we played the Denver Broncos. I was in Seattle in a preseason game. I got traded to fucking Denver, well, Browns and then Denver. And that was their first meeting since getting their asses kicked by Seattle, that the team I was on. And Elway's in the front yelling at everybody. And I'm in the back of the room like, Jesus Christ, this is weird. And then they go play each other in the Super Bowl, which was like the other bizarre thing, which I was like, shit, I should really sell both of these playbooks. I was waiting for someone to contact me to fucking, I will give you all of the plays. And I'm pretty sure I told on Omaha, like I was in an interview like early on and I was like, yo, everyone understands Omaha is when Peyton's like going to snap the football, right? And then after that, it became like, I'm not saying after that, me, the guy says it all the fucking time.
All the time, though, yeah.
I would have given him everything.
You miss it?
Yeah, a little bit I do. I miss the...
This is what you've done since you were how old?
8 years old.
Every time a fucking leaf comes down.
Yeah.
Every time July comes, what do you think about? That's it. I gotta go lift weights. I gotta eat good.
Yeah.
I still remember when football season would come in the neighborhood. You could always tell how the guys are gonna play football, how they changed a little bit. They started running laps, you know. And you have to miss that. It's a part of who the fuck you are, you know.
You know, it's so, it's kind of, I've always said that playing in a football game is just like getting high. Because the whole process is like very similar. Like you, and science has even proven that football players are addicted to adrenaline. Most football players have adrenaline spikes that are like crazy. But you know, you go in, you're about to go into the game. You're about to play the game. You know it's there. You're waiting. You're a little nervous. You know what's going to happen. And then, you know, you walk out the tunnel. It builds. It's just this building, 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 building. And then first snap comes and then you're just on for fucking 3 hours. Yeah. Just going. And then you crash after. And then that's it. And the lifestyle too, the extremism and lifestyle where I could be like, all right, party, 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 party. Okay, clean up. Clean up now. It's football time. Clean up. Play football. You know, as good as you could clean up. And then, okay, party, party, party. But so those two, like that, like extremism, you could see it matches perfectly with addiction. It matches perfectly with, you know, alcoholism, all of it, really.
You know, it's the same thing with a comic's life, you know?
Absolutely.
You have 23 fucking hours to burn. You could read so many books, you could jerk off so many times.
Yeah.
Eventually, you know, I'm going to smoke a joint or have a drink or something. Thank God I don't fall into the drink category. I have nothing against people who drink. I'm a smoker, you know, I like. But anything like that. Look at, you know, John Jones with fucking MMA.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You know, you live, when you're addicted to something, like I said, it's not the addiction. It's how you react, how your day goes. You know, that's why when I always tell people when I did coke, I couldn't control my day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm going to be driving and Lee's going to cut me off and I'm going to get out and yell at him in the front car and call him a cocksucker and he's going to shoot me and I'm going to shoot him back. That's your day. You cannot control yourself. I knew, okay, let's say I went to Miami to do comedy. I get in the night before, like Tuesday, as a feature act. I get in Monday night. You think I get there because I cared about the club? No. I got there because I walked right to the club and asked them for a $100 draw.
Yeah.
And I called the Colombian, and he came over and brought me a package. So I know if I did blow Monday and Tuesday night, I had to take Wednesday night off. I knew this as an addict and as a comic, that if I wanted to do good for the weekend, I had to take like Wednesday or Thursday off. And then I could get high on Saturday night after the third show. And I could go deep, because who gives a fuck about Sunday anyway, you know? So I knew when I could. That's the same thing you're saying. Mm-hmm. You know, you get high. And then there were some weeks where I couldn't control it. I had one thing. I had one personal rule. I did not get high before I went on stage. I smoked 50 joints. I'll take a Valium. I'll have two fucking amaretto and milks. But I will not fucking do a bump because I knew my timing would be completely off. Mm. That's just me. But when I was locked up, I would do speed on Mondays with these fucking biker dudes in prison, right? And Monday nights, we had to play basketball. And I'd do like three, and I was in great shape then. I swam every day. Well, before I got locked up, I knew I was going to get locked up in Colorado. So I got into swimming and lifting, and I rode a bike. I didn't have a car. I sold the car, and I just rode a bike. And I'll tell you what, I would do 6 or 7 laps with the meth in me, whatever the fuck we would snort it.
Yeah.
And, oh, my God, I couldn't play fucking basketball. After a while, I thought my heart was going to bounce out of my chest. It was too much. It would be bouncing alone by itself. Why do I want to be running laps like a fucking yo-yo for?
Can you guys, like, explain, just because, for me, I'm, like, the straightest guy ever. I know now I'm super high, but, I don't have anything in my life that would, I would do that would hurt me. So, like, for someone like me on the outside who, let's say you're a headlining comedian or you're in the NFL, like, why? Like, it seems like it should have been an easier decision to, like, just not do it. But it just seems like it's just not even a decision.
He just explained it, Lee. You got to turn that animal off. It's very tough. It's very tough. There's some guys you play with that didn't say two words, correct?
Yeah.
They went home afterward. They fucked their wives.
Yeah.
They went hunting. They went fishing. They chewed tobacco.
Yeah.
That's what offensive linemen do. Then there's the other half of the offensive linemen where they can't turn that fucking block off. They go home and they're still seeing themselves shuffling their feet. They're counting shuffles. They start counting fucking shuffles and shit. You know, and that's with everything. Listen, man, it's tough having a 9-to-5. It's tough driving the 405 and thinking about your kids. Can you imagine playing in front of how many people on the weekends?
80 to 100.
Okay. Yeah. Somebody always at your door knocking. It's about money, dog. You got 2 weeks to get your life together. It's about money. It's not about high school no more. The coach don't give a fuck who's here to see you. You don't perform, somebody else will come in and do the fucking job for you. You get hurt, you got to sweat it out a little bit. You got to go back. And there's three guys now that know you're hurt. And they're doing push-ups, and they're eating spinach, and they're fucking doing that thing. It's pressure, man. It's pressure. Imagine. And sometimes money is too much pressure for people.
Yeah.
I love doing stand-up. You know what I hate it? When what? I gotta get paid.
Really?
I hate it. I fucking hate the whole thing. I don't want it to be a chore.
Yeah.
I want to be sitting here with you right now and go, you know what, bro? What are you going to do afterward? Let's go get some wings. There's a stage. I'm going to crack some jokes. And that's how I make a living. They give me a guaranteed $25 or something. Yeah. I'd be happy.
Yeah.
But when I got to fight with people and I can't even, you know, I thought you played football. In the back of my fucking mind, you went to college, you got your dick sucked, you got a fucking degree, okay? You got drafted and you went and they gave you a playbook and you played football. No, they give you 200 pages of fucking things to read and team conduct and NFL rules and shit that you can and you can't do. And you start looking at this going, I thought this was football. This is mild communism for a fucking paycheck. They want me to do that. And okay, I understand the code of ethics, and I understand a lot of things, but in today's world, it's completely different.
Well, didn't Goodell, like, really tighten down everything? That's what I heard. Like, when Goodell came in, just made everything awful.
It's a corporation now.
Yeah.
They're making billions of fucking dollars. But guess what? He has a bad game. He misses a block. I have the right now to go on Twitter and call him a fucking cunt. That's what I have the right of. Because I either am a fan of Seattle or Denver's or Cleveland. I have the right. So how many times can I call him a cunt on Twitter before he comes home one day? You know, he has stress, his job, he hurt his knee. Before he goes, hey, fuck you too, you fat fuck. Now guess what? 2,000 people see that and they show that to the Seattle Seahawks. There's a different code of ethic, and now the internet adds more to it. You know, I used to go on a set of a movie. You went, you ate, you smoked a joint. Now you go on a set of the movie, and you're signing 10 waivers telling you, don't take a picture and put it on social media. Don't do this, don't do that. So shooting a movie is becoming something else. Okay, yeah, I like the money and the whole thing, but it's becoming something else. And that's what I didn't like about football. Like, I don't understand about... That's what I learned when I did The Longest Yard.
Yeah.
Because I talked to Brian Bosworth.
Yeah.
And Brian Bosworth is the fucking essential NFL, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And he wasn't a drug guy or nothing. No. He just had issues on the other level, and he didn't like it, and he went head-to-head with them. And, you know, some people will go, you know what? I'll take this mild communism. I'll support my family and keep my fucking mouth shut. But then you get guys like you that are great guys. You're a sweetheart. But you know what, motherfucker? After the game, I want to go out and fucking cut it up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what? Years ago, I have a tight friend who's in a bind right now. Today, he's in a big bind right now. He's looking at some jail time. But for a while, he thought he was a real badass. Nice kid. I grew up with him. I love him like a brother. He was bouncing one night at a bar. I'm fucking coked up out of my gills. I'm 60 yards away from his bar. There's a big parking lot. I get out. I look at my friend. I go, hold on. I take my dick out, and within 10 minutes, this kid I grew up with says, what are you doing? And I go, I'm pissing. Meanwhile, his jaw's going. He did two bumps. My jaw's going. I thought all was forgiven, and for 2 years, he ratted on me about the pee that time. He not ratted on me. He broke my balls. Every time I'd see him, he'd go, you have no class, peeing. Like, he got so insulted from the pee. Till this day, I can see if I pissed on your door, on your mother's leg, or on your cat, but I'm peeing in a parking lot.
Yeah,
60 yards from the door. I don't, you know, Seattle was one of those places where they took everything very literally, the police department.
Yeah.
To the T. Even if you told the cop, like, I'll be seeing you again, brother, he'll go, you threatened me. No, 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 I can do comedy.
Yeah.
I know your partner goes in that comedy club. I don't know. We might have to, let me go discuss this. Some people just take fucking shit literally, man.
That's true.
That's fucked up. That it could be like, there's so much discretion. Like somebody, like if you did that here, would you have gone to jail? Or would you, like, would that have happened?
Well, you know, like in a big city, like I said, there's more leniency. There's more understanding. We don't have time to give you a ticket for fucking jaywalking. And you know what? I understand. I understand. That's a law, bro. And I didn't know. And all you had to do was pull me over with your three, because there was three guys on bicycles. So I was mesmerized by the whole thing.
They just rolled up.
Ticket from a guy on a fucking bicycle?
Yeah.
Like,
if they arrested you, did they put you on the handlebars or something?
I don't get it. I'll bend those fucking things. My brother, what are your plans? You're sober? You look healthy? You're getting healthy? What are your plans? You're 28? You got the world by the balls.
I know. You know, I'm just, I decided to come down here and get in shape and kind of find a new direction, but really I'm just kind of keeping it easy. I'm still working out and training, so I'm considering it. You know what I mean? I'm considering possibly doing more with the athletics or something like that. Like you say athletics, like I'm going to go in a fucking dodgeball, right? But, you know, it's kind of like I said, like before, when you get out of rehab, you kind of realign your whole world. You know what I mean? And as it's gone, it kind of more changes and realigns. So I take it, you know, one day at a time. I don't plan too far out, you know, and then kind of see where it goes, honestly.
That's all you could do, man. Just being sober, like when you're young and you like to party. Like you, when I was 25, I did not understand people who didn't party.
No.
And I'm not the guy hanging out with Lionel Richie at a club dancing on the ceiling. I'm not that guy. Party, that word meant nothing to me. I just didn't understand how in my mind, partying was to break down my mind. I looked at it that way. I'm going to gram a blow, a couple beers, and go home. And I'll think about shit, and then I'll get my dick sucked later on. I'll make some call. Whatever. Whatever you went through in those days. And I was just counting myself. It was the addiction. I remember the first year off blow while I was talking to you. The shit I went through. This is just 6-7 years ago. I'll be a sober this November, 8 years from powder.
Nice.
And that first fucking year was a mind fuck.
Yeah.
Because I always told people I wasn't going to do it anymore, but I just didn't know for sure.
Yeah.
But then as the months progressed, every day that I got sober, I thought about how I acted when I was sober and how I could see the change. Like all of a sudden I had money in my ATM account. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God, I'd have fucking money in there. Like, how much is in there? $280. I haven't had $280 in my fucking bank account in fucking years. My bank account was between $32 and $100 at all times. I was a grown fucking man. You know, it's something that I do. I can't even imagine today doing a blast.
Yeah.
I love my reefer. You know, I'm 52. I'm settled already, brother.
Yeah.
I'm not going to quit reefing now. It's too early.
No.
It's
too early. And I think it, honestly, I think it's good to ease off of everything else. honestly, because you know it and you know what it can do. Like, I used it to ease off of everything, and I think it's like a lesser, you know, like a
lesser evil.
Lesser evil, absolutely.
Out of all the evils you could do, listen, I'm not going to knock on your door at 4 in the morning to borrow $50. I'm not going to get a, you know, I'm not going to look out the window all fucking night. I'm not going to put my family out of fucking business because I want to snort blow. This reefer shit, I got into it when I was like 12. And I always liked the one aspect of it that helped me sleep at night.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. And it makes Doritos taste
oh, Jesus.
Like fucking God. You understand?
And everyone's a lot more interesting, too. That's like half the reason I feel like let's be fucking honest. That's like 1% of the reason why I probably used. Everyone just gets so much more interesting. You know what I mean? You deal with all these people. That was the thing, like, when you play in the league, you talk about, like, the Twitter accountability, you know? And I find football players are, like, some of the few people in the, if you call it the entertainment industry, that actually have to really pander and cater to fans and still put on this, like, you can say whatever the fuck you want, and a football player still has to be like, oh, good game tonight, and, you know, God bless, and, you know, love Jesus, and all the right things. You know what I mean? It still, like, has that political kind of aspect to it. So I always found when I was playing, because I had to be so fucking fake all the time, you know, God forbid I offended a fan that came up to me at a bar, much easier just to get trashed and just not worry about it. You know what I mean? Or just be like, well, fuck it. Whatever you're saying is fine. You know, it doesn't really resonate with me, or, you know, it's not interesting, but I'll
people,
just keep doing
fans
it.
Like you when you're trashed.
Yeah.
They want to see you fucked up at a bar. They want you to know that, you know, you bleed when you cut.
Yeah.
I noticed that at Swanee's. I used to see a lot of the Seahawks, and then the fans really like it. You know, I mean, you don't want to be pissed drunk and jawing and Coke rocks falling out of your fucking nose. But, you know, people know. Yeah. They at least tip their glass and can I send you a drink over. And
oh, yeah.
It's a great honor to be a professional football player, man. You had that opportunity.
Yeah, man. It was a very fun ride. It was a wild ride. It was a wild ride. It was a fun one, though.
Doug, you're a wild dude. I can tell by that smile. That smile is... Listen, man, I hope you... find love and peace and everything you're looking for.
Thank you.
Once you get off that shit, it's there. You know, I have a friend that drinks, and I can't call her anymore and bust her balls. I don't, and I would never bust anybody's balls because I never like people busting my balls.
You constantly bust balls.
But I wouldn't bust somebody's balls about getting high.
Okay.
When I know there's a problem exists, I'm not going to change their life by talking to them. It's something, a conscious decision.
You got to make it yourself.
You have to make it yourself.
Yeah.
You could get blue in the fucking face telling me how cocaine's going to kill me. Joey, you love me. Stop for your kids. They're going to put you in jail. All you're going to do is drive me to go get a fucking package. That's all you're doing by talking to me about that shit is making me fucking want to go get a high cocksucker right fucking now.
It's so true.
But it's one morning you wake up and you go, you know what? I hurt my dad.
Yeah.
I hurt my mom. I hurt myself. More important, I hurt myself, bro.
Yeah.
And you know what? You're right. Fuck football. Fuck everything else. Right now, it's about taking care of you. Whenever the fuck you land, you're still a young man. You got the world by the balls. Thank you for coming in.
Hey, brother. Thank you so much for having
me. You're a fucking savage. Give a shout out to your dad.
I got to give a shout out to Dave Moffitt. He's a huge fan of yours, man. He's been telling me about you for 2 years.
Now they live in Connecticut.
They live in Connecticut. Yeah. Him and my mom. And I called him up just on the way over here, and he didn't know. Like, I texted him and I said, hey, I'm going on Diaz's show, but I don't think he, like, got across.
Right.
And so I'm telling him on the way over here, and he's like, are you fucking? He's like, what are the chances? Tell you this.
That's a small world.
For 2 years, now you're on a show. I've been listening. You're the only one, you know, podcast.
You,
you're the only one he likes. Thanks. I'm telling you.
I want to give him a shout out. Send him my love and stuff.
I will.
And, you're down there with Dave and Unbreakable, which is great.
Oh, yeah. That's an amazing gym.
He jiu-jitsu you yet?
No, just stretching.
Oh, my God.
He just stretches the shit out of me.
With that long-legged motherfucker.
He looks, his hands are like, they look like they could go through a wall just straight, you know? Like, he looks like, I wouldn't want to jiu-jitsu him. I feel like he'd fuck you up, you know?
He's a strong guy. He knows what he's doing. He's a little older. He's got that old man strength.
Yeah.
But he's a great fucking trainer. He really, really knows his shit, man. Every time I go there, I learn something new from him.
Absolutely.
I was telling Lee I get a 15-pound dumbbell in my trunk. And I go to NoHo Park and I do sit-ups. They're his sit-ups.
Yeah.
They're the ones he taught me for jiu-jitsu where I just get it and do a sit-up and kick my legs up and go back. That's all Dave's shit. Dave's got 1,000 things.
Oh, yeah.
I went to jiu-jitsu today and I did one of the tricks he taught me where knee on belly and you switch the leg so you can't get your leg caught. And the guy goes, where'd you learn that from, Sean? And I go, better yet, one of his brown belts.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's who teaches that shit. Dave's a bad motherfucker. Thank you again.
Hey, thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.
Hold on 1 second there. Let's give a shout out to my main motherfuckers over there at Onnit. Alpha Brain, bitches. Complete Earthgone Nootropic. You understand me? You're fucked up. You can't get your heads cleared. Alpha Brain is the way to go. 30-day money-back guarantee. We don't even want the product back. Who does that shit? You go to your drug dealer, and I didn't like your fucking heroin. Can I get my money back? And they give me your money back? Fuck no. You did it, cocksucker. Onnit don't care. When somebody does that, that means they care about you. And they it means they care that they want to do business with you. If you don't like their product, 30-day money-back guarantee, okay? And that's what the Alpha Brain, their flagship motherfucking product. Go to Onnit right now. Go to Onnit right now. Take a look at all their great products. Go to the box and press in.
Church.
Boom! 10% off like a motherfucker. Just like that. Also, they have the Stay Onnit program where they'll mail this stuff right to your house on a monthly level. You can't lose. Whether it's the Shroom Tech Sport, the Shroom Trek and Moon, Immune, the New Mood, the new T formula, the testosterone enhancer, whatever the fuck it is, the hemp force protein, the acai vanilla, or the chocolate, you're not going to lose. Go to Alpha Brain. Go to Onnit.com right now. My main people over there at IronDragonTV.com. As you notice, I'm a little fucked up tonight. That's what happens when you eat a couple of Green Hornets and the last piece of the Jewish Star of Death. Anarchy Edibles, look at this fucking thing. This thing was huge at one time. Look at the size of this fucking Juice Star of Death. Look at this fucking thing. There ain't nothing left, cocksuckers. What happened, Lee?
I was zooming in so they could see it.
Oh, sorry about that. He thought the fucking world ended. Anyway, go to Iron Dragon TV for classic martial art films. These films are the best martial art films. You always want to get into fucking... There's no UFC. There's nobody bit slapping one of them. Nobody. What are you going to do? You're going to sit there and watch fucking Dancing with the Stars? Fuck no! Go to IronDragonTV.com right now to watch classic martial arts films from the Yip Man series to the Kung Lee series to who else?
Jackie Chan.
I'm just naming Chinese motherfuckers right now. I don't know whether they exist or not, but their movies are at IronDragonTV.com right now. You understand me? You get 2 free movies. When you say the name
Joey,
J-O-E-Y, that's how we roll. 2 free movies, Iron Dragon TV, Roku, technology, 4K, they're a leader. Dave Foley putting shit together over there. But don't listen to me. Go to IronDragonTV.com right now. Take a look at that great fucking classic martial art films. You got 2 of them coming on me. Go to the box and press in.
Joey.
Boom, and get 2 free films. Hitty Six, they ain't fucking around this month. 1,200 guaranteed pups. It's May 17th. You know when I brought this motherfucker up here? Like the beginning of March. 1,200 fucking pups. He's giving you 5 of these things for $50 at $10 a piece. Whether it's a cigar, whether it's a Hitty Cig, whether it's a 24 milligram, the zero tolerant. Start right now. This is what I would do if I was you fucking dummies. It's summertime. You didn't quit in January, right? Here's your chance for $50 fucking.
Dummy.
For $50 fucking, you momos. You'll never smoke again. You're going to get yourself the 24 milligram, the 16 milligram, the 8 milligram, the zero, and you're going to get yourself a cigar. So you look like a doctor this weekend, Memorial Day. You're going to go to a party with your little red shorts on. You want to look like you're doing something, like an interesting dude. Look at him. He ain't smoking a cigar. He's smoking a Hitty Cig fucking cigar. 1,200 guaranteed puffs. They last longer. They taste better than them fucking Hindu e-cigs that they sell you at 7-Eleven. Go to Hitty Cigs right now and get your fucking, what do they get?
You go to Joey's church, you press in Joey's church, and you get 5 for $50.
5 for $50, and if not, you get 20% off. Right? That's all I know. Also, listen, Joey, I don't want to be healthy. I don't want to watch kung fu movies. I don't want to smoke no fucking electronic cigarettes. All right, what do you got for me? You know what I got for you? If you're a wax smoker,
or oil.
Let's say you like rubbing oil on your feet and smoking fucking wax out of a fucking vapor pen. Nailed It Life is here for you, cocksuckers. Go to nailedatlife.com and look at the beautiful supply. No, the one vapor pen they have. 20% off. It's $50. You get it for $40, and it's guaranteed. You have a problem with your pen, the coil breaks. It's not getting charged. You call Dave, and within 24 hours, he's got the piece for you. Sometimes it's not the price. It's all about the customer service. I don't care about how many 8 balls you do the night before. I care about how you suck my dick the next day. At the end of the day, that's all we're worried about. Go to Onnit.com, IronDragonTV.com.
Well, Nailed It Life, President Joey Diaz.
HittySigs.com and NailedItLife.com. They're great companies. They provide a great service. Thank you very much for supporting us. Again, John Moffitt, bad motherfucker. You know, you can talk to him on Twitter on where?
Moffitt74.
If you want to help him, whatever you do, let's say you're into staying clean, you want to hike around, Moffitt's always there on fucking Twitter. You're on Facebook?
Yeah. Yeah, just I don't really do the Facebook.
All right, just go to Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter.
And if you smoke dope and do drugs, stay away from Moffitt. Don't let me find out you're on Twitter showing him your little raggedy tits. If you're clean and sober and you want to show him your pussy, he's available. Listen, no vegan pussy. Smells like fucking 10 dead Iranians, that vegan pussy. The pH is off. The pussy's all whacked up. No vegan pussy at this fucking house, all right? I love you, cocksucker. Stay black. One more time, my main man, John Moffitt. One more time, my main man, Lee Syatt. Bitches, Las Vegas this weekend. Watch that pussy. Uncle Joey's coming to town. If you're a vegan, eat a steak, bitch. Balance off that little monkey spray. The Ice House next Wednesday night. And then I'm in Oklahoma City with you bad motherfuckers. Stay black. See you Thursday with Auntie Dolores. You got any dogs or cats? Check in. We're going to talk about fucking CBDs for your dog. If your dog walks, let's say your dog is fucking stupid or retarded, we'll give him a fucking treatable. And he'll see the devil, this fucking dummy on the cover here.
You're doing like a PBS, like, infomercial.
What am I going to do? What am I going to do?
Chicken here? Next week with the CBDs for your dog.
Yeah, we'll be here when on Thursday.
Oh, my goodness.
What the fuck are you laughing about, Lee?
I have no idea.
I got a ticket to Boston. I can't believe it, man. They wanted so much fucking money. And I also got an email today for eligibility on TSA. I don't have to check in no more.
Oh, shit.
Oh, did you get your instant your walk-in? Yep. I'm going to do that shit.
I guess they erased my police record, bitches.
We're still going.
Is that going? A pain in the ass? Oh, you're still
no, there. I don't fucking know. They just emailed me.
That's crazy, though. That's 8 years, though. Like, did you ever think about it, like, 10 years ago?
What's that?
Like, you'd be 8 years sober? That's crazy. I didn't know it was 8.
Who the fuck knows? Wrap it up. We're getting
out. Oh, we're done? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. What are you all bowing about?
About, you know what? Go to onnit.com, use code word church to get 10% off of your order of all the great optimization products. Go to irondragontv.com and use code word Joey to get 2 free rentals of all the great martial art movies and the leader in 4K technology. Go to nailedatlife.com, also Los Gumis Hermanos, and use code word Joey Diaz to get 20% off the premier vapor pen on the market for all oil and wax smokers. And go to hitecigs.com, and right now they're running a Pick 5 campaign. You get 5 Hit e-cigs or e-cigars for $50 when you use code word Joey's Church.
The thrill.